Culture Cafe, I'm Michelle Martin. She says the best way to design a life that fulfills you and that perhaps allows you to fulfill your own dreams of everything that you can possibly achieve for yourself in one lifetime depends on you really knowing yourself and bringing yourself to wherever it is that you express your life's work, not just the workplace, right? Many other arenas as well. So it's an absolute pleasure to speak with a woman who spent 3 decades in the corporate world. She also held C-suite roles in Coca-Cola. She was general manager for Singapore, Brunei, Malaysia. In fact, I spoke with her in 2012 about what Coca-Cola was doing to bring women to positions of power across Coca-Cola, across the world. So welcome back to Jill McLaren. This time we're speaking to Jill in her capacity as author of a brand new book, Think, Plan, Live. Define and design your best life in 6 simple steps. Welcome, Jill. How are you?
Hi, Michelle. So nice to be back with you.
Yeah, great to speak with you, Jill. So let's start. First question, now that everybody's heard about your role in Coca-Cola, and where you worked for, what, 2 decades?
That's right, I was a Coke for 20 years.
My goodness me. How does this book then incorporate maybe how Coca-Cola understood key decisions that were being made by consumers? Does that translate anything that Coca-Cola was doing to understand the consumer into concepts that you use in this book to help us understand ourselves?
I think I took a lot of strategic planning principles from the corporate world. So a lot of my time with Coca-Cola was in strategy, and most of our time, if you're in the corporate world, we spend a lot of time on business planning and strategic planning. And I've basically applied a lot of those strategic planning principles and built them into life design, because we spend so much time planning our businesses, but honestly a tiny, tiny proportion of our time planning our lives. And the same principles apply. So, and also some of the research we did at Coca-Cola was about your 6 W's. So, you know, who am I? What do I like doing? Why do I do it? Where, when, and with? And those principles are in the book, but in a very different take. You'll see as you look at the book, it's very different when you're applying it to life design, but a lot of the business planning principles do apply.
Okay, so we have to ask about your own life experience journey, Jill. What made you make the switch from 30 years in the C-suite and corporate leadership to, you know, running your own thing?
It's part of my best life design, because my journey with that started, and when we were talking last time, Michelle, we were talking about my journey with the Women in Leadership Council at Coca-Cola. And on that journey, I was sitting watching a panel, and it's over a decade ago now that this conversation was happening, and a lady on the stage was talking about work-life balance, and she said, "I don't believe in work-life balance, I believe in living your best life." And I went, "Whoa, what does that mean?" And this was like over 10 years ago, and I went up to her in the break after the panel and said, "So what is it? What is your best life?" And she said, "Well, it's really working out what's important to you and then navigating your life to live that." And I said, "Yeah, but is there a formula? How did you work it out?" He said, "Well, you know, you just kind of work things through as you go." And with my grad, I go, "No, there must be a way to work that out." You know, so it became over 10 years of life work on myself, quite frankly, to try and work out what it was and all the component parts. And literally the best of that is in the book, you know, so 10 tools, 6 simple steps that would enable you step by step to try and work that out. But on that journey, yes, there was lots of what worked, what didn't work. And I learned lots of things on the way, but just simple things like what are your values and your strengths? What gives you energy? What takes it away? What inspires you? So there is a formula to it. So many people talk about, you know, managing your life, but there is a formula you can follow and a step-by-step approach that makes it practical. So people aren't left with the idea of something which is exciting, like, oh, a best life, that sounds interesting. I've actually tried to create the book as a workbook. So when you see the book, you know, basically there's all the exercises in there, all the pages to fill it in. Then at the end of each chapter, you can capture your fingerprint, because it's all about a unique life fingerprint. So my goal was really to cram, I suppose, 30 years of corporate training I received into a book that you could get for $30.
Admirably done, I have to say, because it is a slim volume. It's not the sort of book that if you let go of, you might break your toe if it falls on your foot. You know, well done. Slim volume, easy reading. Was that part of the idea as well when you were thinking of building this book?
Absolutely. I want it to be accessible. And when you read it, it should be like a self-coaching journey. So you can hear my voice in the book, and that was the goal. It started much longer. So I think part of life design is also paring it down to its simplest form. So a lot of these books that I've read in my time are quite complex. So actually I spent a lot of time simplifying a lot of the concepts just to make it really accessible, and actually accessible to everybody. I didn't want it to be an exclusive book or, you know, some highbrow theoretical or academic book on the subject. I wanted literally someone to be able to pick it up, thumb their way through it, write in the exercises, and get a lot of learnings out of it.
You know, there's a chapter in the book where you talk about someone who's giving you your big break, you know, promoting you, and he says to you, listen, now that you're a manager, it's not about you anymore.
Absolutely.
It's about getting the best out of other people. And you know, so much in life happens because other people take a risk with us. You know, they see the potential in us and they give you that big break. So much seems to happen outside of what you plan for yourself. How does life design incorporate, you know, what life seems to just do to you almost?
Yeah, I think sometimes people think that happens by accident, but honestly, it really doesn't. You know, for me, it navigates from your values and your strengths. And sometimes other people see in you what you don't see in yourself. So when that person does tap you on the shoulder and say, do you know what, this is the right opportunity for you, they've seen more vividly your capabilities and your gifts than you've probably seen in yourself. So through life design, what I'm trying to do is give access to people where they can talk about their strengths or their values, because most people are trained not to be, you know, you don't want to be arrogant or you don't want to be overconfident. So, but sometimes people almost suppress some of that. So won't even acknowledge that they might be good at things or what their value set are. So yes, of course it does rely on other people as well, seeing that potential in us. But for me, it's a real discovery journey. So you can find it within yourself. And then it's about amplifying that. So for me, it's an amplification tool of what you're really good at. And it should be a really positive experience. The overarching piece is completely non-judgmental. It really enables you to build confidence and self-esteem.
That's just terrific. Think, plan, live. What is it built on in terms of how it defines what best life means?
So at the core of best life, as I say, is that self-definition. So it's not called ideal life. It's called your best life. So the journey on Think, Plan, Live is help you discover that. So how would you discover that? It is about your uniqueness. So we talk in the book about your unique fingerprint, and there are component parts of that. So who am I? You know, what do I like doing? Who do I like doing it with? The why, and then the when and the where. The most definitive part I'm finding is the who. So spending time on the who am I, you know, what are my values and my strengths? The most pivotal exercise right at the beginning is your lifeline. So looking back on your past life and what defined the highs and the lows, and what were the patterns in that, the behaviors, the time when you felt like you really fitted in somewhere or belonged, or the time where you felt like an outsider, or the time when you were surrounded by amazing people and the time that you weren't. So there's so many patterns in it. So back to the fact it's a strategic tool. It doesn't feel like a strategic plan tool, but at the end of the day, in strategy, you kind of synthesize things. You cast the net really wide and look at all the dot points. But the dot points in this case are your life, all the things that have happened, all the experience you have, your values and your strengths. And that's basically the clues to best life design.
So it's sort of being a detective with your own life.
Exactly.
Looking back at perhaps things that keep coming up, repetitive patterns. I think for most people, by the time they reach adulthood, they might have a sense, a sniff of these patterns, but be powerless in terms of how do you change it, you know? So what would you say to someone who says, for example, they love what they're doing, but they find time and time again, they're not valued, you know? How do they change that?
I think valued comes up a lot. Actually, interestingly, women talk a lot about not feeling valued, actually. Probably I find them more than men when I coach. But I think it's being valuable rather than valued, because valued relies on someone else to say, you're good at this or you're not good at this. Feeling valuable, as in I see the value in myself, is more of a self-reflective journey. Now, that might sound like a nuance, but when you feel valuable, as in, you know what, I know I do give that to other people and I feel confident enough that that's what I'm bringing to it. So I think the nuance is seeing that within yourself, which we often don't do. As I say, we spend a lot of time kind of sensing around us what other people's lives look like, and we're comparing our life, and then we feel a bit inadequate that our life doesn't look as amazing. there's a really good quote about, you know, don't compare your behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reel. So we see everyone else's highlight reel and they just think, oh, their life's so much more amazing and it's just my life that looks particularly kind of haphazard and not working. It's not the case. Literally everyone's juggling with things. So best life design is that discovery. But this valuable part is the, you know, seeing it within yourself rather than needing validation from other people to appoint you as of value to them.
Because we hear most people saying, I love my job, love my job. It's just people leave managers, bad managers, and they don't want to leave their role. They yeah. love what they're doing. I just spoke with someone, she's 70 years old, and she said to me, you know, Michelle, I think I should retire really soon. I said, what do you love doing? And she said, that's the thing. I'm doing what I love doing, Michelle. She's a lawyer. She loves what she does, you know. And well, she's valued. But for the rest of us out there who may be in a position where they love their day-to-day, they love the backstage even, yeah. but feel that they're not being valued. Is it a turning point then? I think you talk about it in the book of realizing when to laugh and when to learn and yeah. when to leave.
Yeah, I mean, I have got some tips in the book more about navigating your career. So I've kind of got the, you do either love a job, you like a job, you learn from it, you laugh about it, or you leave it, you know. So at the end of the day, there's not a, I hang on in there for another decade hoping that someone will eventually value me. Honestly, I wouldn't recommend that as a model. But interestingly, people don't do the leave. And leave doesn't mean like leaving and quitting your career, or, you know, leave means orchestrating your career moves to somewhere where you will feel valued, like you belong, and knowing that you are in control of that. So not feeling a victim of your circumstance. So that could be, you know, I'm in one function and I want to learn role in another function, and this leader that I'd love to work for is amazing and I'd love to work there. So I think you navigate it. So you should at least hopefully you love your job. Not everyone does. Like it would be great. Laugh about it is more the, sometimes we face times in our career, sometimes it's when it's a downturn where everyone kind of rallies together and you kind of go, oh, you know, this is terrible, but actually people start
bonding
actually in times of challenge, I think. So that's one piece. But the leave it situation for me is when the value set is different than yours. So that, I know you talked about leaders,
yeah.
But people find it very challenging when you do the values exercise. The biggest thing that makes people want to leave a situation is where you're surrounded by values that are different from your own. So if you've got high integrity as a value and you're not surrounded by that, or you know, if you value collaboration and you're in a very status oriented environment, then that wouldn't make you feel as valued. So that's the interesting nuance that I think you do need to pay attention to.
Okay, guess what? Jill has brought 10 copies, signed copies of her book, Think, Plan, Live, Define and Design Your Best Life in 6 Simple Steps. I'm going to open phone lines and we're going to take some questions, and, you know, some of the best questions are going to walk away winners of Jill's personally autographed book. So 669-11938. If you have any question, I suppose, on life design that you'd like to put to Jill, this is one-on-one coaching. 669-11938 to get through. So why does discovering your unique life fingerprint start with knowing who
with this fingerprint is constantly building. The reason why I start with the who is that knowing who you are, and there's that old, again, another saying, which is, you know, first apply your own oxygen mask before you help others. At times we're not spending enough time on really working out who we are. So as I say, the component parts of that are this lifeline where you look at the highs and lows. You also look at your values and your strengths. So for me, the who am I, is the foundational aspect of life design. As Dr. Zeus says, it, there's no one on the planet more you than you. So it's trying to work out what your you-ness is right out front.
Let's welcome our first caller. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, who's this on the line?
Shan.
Okay, Shan. Do you have a question for Jill?
Yeah. You mentioned earlier on there is the leave part.
Yes.
Now, sometimes you may have to do a leave and spend a certain amount of a career break before you can kind of self-discover where your passion or your life design is. But there's always a cost to that career break period. What kind of advice would you be giving to somebody in that situation?
I think when you decide it's a leave situation for you, so you might find that this is not the environment I want to work in, don't be in a rush. The first thing is to identify it, but then have a master plan to do it. So what I wouldn't do is like a dramatic leave, as in I'm done, I'm leaving, because that's not planning ahead. So the book is called Think, Plan and Live for a Reason. So think is, I know this isn't right. So I thought about this and I know this environment isn't right. Let me plan for how I do that. So leave actually could be leave that boss I'm working for. Leave could be actually the department I'm working in isn't as in tune with who I want. And you actually spend a bit of time defining where you want to go next. So leave could take 6 months, but 6 months is better than, you know, taking 3 years and staying somewhere where you're not happy. So the step one is to work out that I really feel like this environment is not good for me, and then work out where you want to go next. But I would still say it's easier to do that when you're still in employment than kind of doing some dramatic kind of I'm quitting, you know. So that's kind of some of the context for that, about how you do that. So leave to do something that's in tune with your fingerprint. Don't just leave.
Thanks very much, Sian. Great question. If you'd like a copy of Jill's book signed, by the way, head on down to 93 Live's Facebook page. Send us a message with your mailing address and we'll get you the book. Okay, so thanks very much, Sian. Let's see if Thomas is still with us. Hi, Thomas. Ooh, Thomas, are you there? Oh, we'll give Thomas some time to come back to the phone. 669-11938, if you have a question for Jill McLaren, my very special guest. She is the founder and CEO of Syntegrate. Her new book is titled Think, Plan, Live, Define and Design Your Best Life in 6 Simple Steps. You talk about neuroscience in this book.
I do.
Why do we need to understand our brain and what new discoveries about the way we think or feel? How does that link to designing our best life?
Yeah, there is a bit of neuroscience in the book, more as context for how we make decision making. So from a quick version of neuroscience, so I hope there's no real neuroscientist on the line because this is my layman's person. So from a neuroscience perspective, we've got 3 parts to our brain. So the kind of reptilian part of our brain is the fear part. So that tends to kick off to protect us from things. So if you touch something hot, your hand pulls away. You know, that's the fear part of our brain. Then you've got basically the brain that's the mammalian part of the brain, which enables us to, where all the motions sit, you know, so that's where we emotionally make decisions. And then you've got basically the thinking part of our brain, which is a uniquely human part of our brain, where we push decisions and we can rationally make decisions. Now, most of our decisions are made with the emotional part of our brain, so or the amygdala part of our brain, where you kind of literally react to something, and fear sits in there. So this fear of change is a key one, because in the way that we have a fear of getting hurt, we have a fear of change. So some of the parts of life design, if we try, we can't make decision making through the reptilian or fear part of our brain. We have to push it up, and why the book's called Think, Plan, Live is push it up to how am I feeling about that, which is the emotional part of our brain, and then ultimately the thinking part of our brain about what do I want to do about this rationally, how do I work the whole thing through. But most of our decision making is governed by that kind of emotional part of our brain, and we have to pay attention to it. But you can almost sense, you know, when have I just reacted like that? Would be like you got angry or you got upset. That really is the, you know, the fear or the limbic, you know, the limbic part of your brain just kicking in and kind of making you react. So what I mean, but as I say, you don't need to have a masterclass in neuroscience to work it through. I think what you need to be aware of is, if you want to make decisions, you do need to process that. And that's why the book helps, because you've got all the steps to really work it through. It drives the thinking part of it even harder. So you can both think emotionally, but think actually rationally about what you want.
So, yeah, it's great that you've included it, you know, a workbook.
Yeah.
Almost, it's bundled into the book.
Yeah.
So you can write, it becomes like a journal you can keep for yourself.
Exactly.
Over time. Let's go to the line, see if there's anybody else. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, who's this on the line?
Hi, this is Ang.
Hi, Mr. Ang. You have a question for Jill?
Yeah, Jill, thanks for sharing. I just had to ask, I found that in my personality, I have a problem with really minding what other people think of me. I mean, in very small things, yeah, but I noticed that and I have quite a lot of this. So what advice would you give?
I think caring what other people, that's human, back to human, as in that's a... most people do are concerned about that. I think my advice on that one would be actually get in tune with your values and your strengths, because often people who mind what other people think aren't always sure of what they think of themselves. And I know that might sound a bit deep, but you know, if you did the strengths part of the book, for example, and really worked out what your strengths are, it would build greater confidence to go, do you know what? I'm actually pretty good at these things, and I can say that out loud that I'm good at them. And therefore, I'm not as much worried about what other people are thinking of me, because I know that I'm actually good at those things. So often it's a part of being unsure in our own mind about what we're actually what we're good at. So really grounding ourselves in that confidence of kind of, do you know what? I'm actually pretty good at some things, and you know, I know I can do that. But it, honestly, it's being human. Most people do care. It's normal to care what other people think. I mean, another part of the book is we talk about energy sources. So energy sources are, think about energy givers and energy vampires. So vampires literally take your energy away. So sometimes when you care what people think, they are your energy vampires, as in they're giving you an opinion and they're not trying to help you, and they're doing it from a place that's not trying to help you out. Whereas if you surround yourself with people who give you energy, so they'll give you, you know, those people would give you a, they give you support, they would ask more questions, they would see what you need. So another part of, if you're finding that within yourself, is also make sure you surround yourself by people who lift you up rather than pull you down.
That is a great question, Mr. Ang. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I'd love to give you a copy of Jill's book, Signs. So head on down to 938 Live's Facebook page and send us a message with your mailing address, email address, and all that, and we'll get you a copy of the book. All right, Mr. Ang, thank you. Great job. So, I mean, the root of self-esteem is really, you know, how you esteem yourself, or whether or not you like yourself, right? But many people feel pulled off center by other people's opinions of them. Does this book help with confidence building? Is that important to building your life design? Can you build your life design if you're not so confident?
Absolutely, because confidence comes from knowing who you are. I know I keep going back to the who, but by really getting to know who you are, I talk about the book as a compass, really. So by the time you've done all of your six W's and worked it through, you end up saying, this is the compass of who I am. And with life design, what I find, and I come back to this fingerprint piece, is that all the component parts of your fingerprint are there. But when I work through life design and you define that fingerprint, often people discover that the fingerprint they are living is some distance from the fingerprint of who their life really should be. And it's that distance that causes tension. So if there was a tension on your with, it would be, you know, this is who I am and this is what my energy givers are, but I've discovered that I'm surrounded by people who aren't giving me energy. Or you could find out, you know, these are my strengths and my values, but I'm in an environment whereby I'm not getting the chance to fully deploy them. So often it comes from distance, and distance, if you think about it, almost like an elastic band, you know, if you've got your life and then the life you're leading, it's at tension. So if you imagine pulling an elastic band along where you're living your life at tension, it affects your health, your confidence, your self-esteem. And therefore it's important that your life gravitates closer to what your true fingerprint is. And that's my passion behind this, why I want people to discover it, is they often are very self-critical of themselves, thinking, oh, it must be me, I need to do better, when often they're just in the wrong environment.
669-111-938. Still got a couple copies of Jill's book to give away. Think, plan, live. Let's go to the lines and see if we have a winner and someone with a question. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name is EL, calling from ex-colleague of Jill.
Hi, oh. EL.
How are
wonderful.
You, Jill?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to get some advice from you.
Go for it.
Well, I mean, we spend a lot of time, as you say, that we plan for business, but we don't really plan for ourselves. So I just want to check with you is that, you know, how can we make the first move and start really thinking about planning for ourselves? And that's the first question. And second is that, you know, as you reach to the midlife and you start to have this midlife crisis and thinking about what's next and what you have lived in the past 40 years. So would that be the so-called motivation to really start looking at what is really how I want to navigate my life after this? And what will be the so-called motivation we should take on and start navigate our life from here?
Okay, so I mean, I think the first pass is finding the time. So I think if you think it's important, you'll find the time. So where do you find time from? You know, don't do social media for a while and do a chapter of the book, or, you know, if you prioritize something. So that's why, I mean, we were talking earlier about it's a short, easy read book. The exercises, however, take a long time. So you can read the book relatively quickly. There's 10 exercises in there. So you can do one step by step, you know, like an hour for this, and then I'm going to spend a bit of time thinking about it. So allow yourself the time. If you think it's important, then you will spend time. I mean, another kind of thought on this is that people spend time on the things that they think are important. So there will be something in your life that you could declutter and say, right, I'm not going to watch a film. I'm going to plan my life. I'm not going to do social media. I'm going to plan my life. So I think time is one thing. And then your other question was about, you know, when do you do it? Is it a midlife crisis thing? I did ask my question that on that because I literally turned 50 this year. So is this a midlife crisis thing? Assuming I live to 100, that is. But for me, I call it a midlife reflection because what I'm finding, and again, a lot of people in their mid-40s, mid-50s start reflecting on, you know, is this as good as it gets? Am I kind of going to carry on in a similar vein? And then become highly reflective. And I find at that point, it's a recalibration job. So I talk about life design as a, if you think about it like a house building project, it's a renovation job rather than a knockdown and rebuild. At the end of the day, our life is not completely broken. There's lots of amazing things in people's lives. But it is finding those tension points or those tweaks or those adjustments that we need to make. And I think that becomes even more powerful when you're at that age where you get more reflective. That said, I have done life design recently with the sons and daughters of people who've been through life design. So I've done it with an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old and a 24-year-old, not in terms of where they want to go next, but literally thinking about career choices and what uni they go to. And interesting, they already know what their values are and their strengths are. And so is if we could start asking kids who they are rather than what they want to be, that would be key. But actually, EL, you're really good at strategy, so I think you'll be great with the book.
Oh, just great to hear from someone who knows Jill. Shan, Ang Yel, you're our winners. Head to 938 Live's Facebook page, send me a message with your mailing address and we'll get you those signed copies. Jill McLaren, pity you're only in town for a week because we could have you on for days and days. Questions still coming through. Thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure. It's fun.
Jill McLaren is author of Think, Plan, Live, Define, and Design Your Best Life in 6 Simple Steps. I'm Michelle Martin. Thanks for your company.
You guys ready?
Culture never sounded this good. You're in the Culture Cafe. I'm Michelle Martin.